Take your Bibles this morning and go to Joshua chapter 5, please. Joshua chapter 5. How do you begin a new ministry? Well, for one thing, I prepared today's message 2.5 weeks ago. I went to the computer yesterday to get it, and the computer swallowed it. It was gone. So we were frantically putting together notes last night. It kind of reminded me one time of the pastor who was preaching, and he had 9 pages of his notes, and he got to page 5 and found that page 6 wasn't there. And he couldn't figure out what happened. He said, "You know what? I think the dog ate the last of my notes." So he quit. That morning on the way out, there was another couple from another church visiting, and they asked him, "Does your dog have any puppies by any chance?" You know what? Things are always changing. And somehow, the way we're made, we don't normally like change. We really don't like being moved out of our comfort zone. And so when those changes come our way, maybe we should just stop and say, okay, what? Maybe God has a purpose for this. It's a good time to examine the sovereignty of God and whether or not we really believe in it. When God changes our circumstances, it's usually because he has something new that he wants to do. Sometimes something that he might want to change in us or do in us so that we might be more usable for his glory. So that new direction can be very challenging, but we still fear it. I have to be honest with you, at my age, having retired a lot for physical reasons, I fear this is a change for me. And when I thought about this, I thought of Joshua facing Jericho, what he must have been thinking about at that time. We're going to talk about that today. Israel is now moving into the land of Canaan. Joshua was the new commander-in-chief. Moses has been leading the people some 40 years. Yes, he had some military experience, but he was not experienced in leading the people. And there were already people in the camp who were saying, "Well, he'll never be like Moses." Our text, by the way, is a great example of the uninspired chapter divisions. Either chapter 5 and 6 should be one chapter, or chapter 6 should begin with verse 13 of chapter 5. And you'll look at that and you'll see how that all flows together. In our text, Joshua is standing before Jericho, and what he's doing, he's contemplating the battle that lies ahead for Israel. He recognizes, number one, that he's the new kid on the block. And he also recognizes the impossibility of the responsibility that lies before him. Let's pick it up together in verse 13 this morning. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, 'Art thou for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, 'What saith my Lord unto his servant?' And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, 'Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy.' And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, 'See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor.'" Let's pray together, please. Father, I pray in these next few moments that we'll put our minds away from activities of yesterday and activities of the coming week. And I pray that you might help us to focus on thy word. I pray that we might be submissive to thy spirit. I pray that he might speak to us. And Father, that we will adjust our lives accordingly, that you might be glorified thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word success is used only one time in the Word of God. And it's given to Joshua when he assumed this responsibility to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. It's in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And we know that success is achieved when we accomplish what it is that God created us to do and saved us to do. He saved us to serve him. And in our serving, he wants us to glorify him. Joshua's response to this encounter with God can help us learn how we should respond when change comes our way and when God has something new for us. Israel's been in Egypt for 400 long years. They were slaves under hard taskmasters. According to God's word, it was a time of physical growth and a time of preparation. Booker T. Washington once said, "Success is not measured by the heights one attains, but by the obstacles one overcomes in their attainment." So what do you think are the obstacles that you think God might have for us here at Bethany Baptist Church or Bible Church? Same thing. Amen. You know, when the children of Israel marched out of Egypt, it was a glorious time of excitement and anticipation. And of course, there was some anxiety. They had no idea where they were going. They knew they were following their leader, Moses. And they came to the Red Sea and they thought, well, this is the end. I have to be honest with you. When we are obedient and we give our lives totally unto the Lord, we will face some Red Sea experiences along the way. And some of them came to the see and looked at it and felt like they were done for. Some of them will come from God. Some of the Red Sea experiences were designed to test us. They're designed to see whether or not we're going to trust God or we're going to try to manipulate him or are we going to try to do it on our own. But if we're willing to trust God, he will see us through, just as he delivered Israel through the waters that long time ago. Some Christians tend to give up when the obstacles come. God wants us to see the obstacles as opportunities. What does he have for us now? And there are some wonderful things that God wants to do in our lives and in our church. And that will accomplish his purposes for our blessing and his glory. And hopefully the strengthening of our ministry here in Hendersonville. But you know what? He first wants to allow us to have some things in our lives that will shape us and get us ready for the message or for the ministry that he has for us. Now in Joshua 1, Moses led the children of Israel for 40 years and he's now dead. Joshua doesn't know if he is up to the task. That's how I looked at myself. Am I up for this task? I had to ask the Lord that very question. I want you to listen to God's promise to Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 8. Very familiar verse. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy" what, class? "Thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." You know what good success is? God's will. It's always good success when we're following God's will. "But the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." You should know it enough that it can come out of thy mouth and help you to meditate day in and day out, thinking the things of the Lord. There's a number of principles in the one little passage we have for us this morning. And I trust that these principles will help move us more and more towards glorifying God in this community. And the very first one is success from God's perspective is directly related to our attention to the Word of God. See, once it gets in the head and it can come out of the mouth, the only reason it comes out of the mouth is because it got into the heart. And we need to allow the Word of God to saturate our lives so that it is functional, so that it can be used in our lives. And the Spirit of God will use it to meet certain needs in our lives along the way. God demonstrated to the people of Israel that Joshua was his chosen leader for them at that time by miraculously moving 2 million men, women, and children across the swollen rivers at flood stage. And they barely got over the river. And what do you think they faced? Jericho. And there it was, staring them right in the face. High and mighty walls. You can be certain there was some anxiety. You can be certain that some of them said, let's turn back. And they turned around and there was the swollen river. There was no turning back. Now, Joshua had some good military experience, but he was not prepared for a long siege. And this was not the time to say, I resign. There are times when we all feel like that, aren't there? And he knows he must take the next step, but he's not certain he can do it. Jericho was built to be invincible. Now, his life and the lives of all the people that were with him must line up with the Word of God. They are God's people. We cannot expect God to bless if we are not committed to following him. And Joshua knows God has called him to this task, but he's got no specific plans. And so in verse 13, what he's doing, he's sizing Jericho up. He's trying to look at all of the potential alternatives, humanly speaking, and it looks grim. He could not leave Jericho behind them to menace the rear as they proceeded into Canaan. And neither could he camp in front of it for a long siege. You know, a long siege would just bring other Canaanite forces again, and they would attack their troops. So he knew Jericho just had to be captured outright. Now, he also may have been praying to God. He's looking for direction. He knows God wants them to take Jericho, but he doesn't know how. And he very well may have prayed something like this. Oh, God, what are we going to do? You ever pray like that? I think we all have. And then he lifted his eyes and he discovered something very, very important. He discovered he was not alone. Oh, that is so crucial anytime the Lord calls you to do something. And there's the second principle. When you are following the Lord, you must recognize that you are never alone. In verse 13, it reveals how he saw a man with a sword drawn in his hand. And immediately he states, are you for us or against us? Now, if the intruder was an enemy, Joshua was ready to fight. When's the last time you struggled with the Lord? Because that's exactly what Joshua has in mind here, if this is the Lord. Joshua asked the wrong question. And you know, sometimes when we pray, we ask the wrong questions. And I'm not sure all that he asked at that particular time. I know he was scared. Notice his reply in verse 14. And the Lord says, no. Rather, I indeed come now as the captain of the hosts of the Lord. Now, that may have taken Joshua back just a little bit. Who in the world is the captain of the host of the Lord? Now, a host in the Bible is an unseen army. It is an invisible army to the human eye, and it surrounds the throne of God. You remember the time when Elisha and his servant were outnumbered by the Syrians? His servant went out to get the morning news, whatever it was, the Hendersonville Gazette or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, he saw the army, but it wasn't the army of the Lord. And he was the servant, and he said to Elisha, what are we going to do? We're done here in Dothan. And he said, no, come back out here and look again. They went back out and looked, and here was the host of the Lord, far greater. Yes, Satan will always try to get in the way when we are serving the Lord. And he has his helpers. They're called demons in the Word of God. But there's a far greater host available. When we are truly serving God in His way, we can count on the fact that we are never alone. Now, I doubt that he realized it at that exact moment, but this was a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some authors have said, no, this was God. This was Yahweh. No, it wasn't God the Father, because he who has seen God the Father would never live again. Joshua is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state. He was in the presence of the Son of God. And notice in chapter 6 and verse 2, the text says, and the Lord said, it was the Lord. Now, his immediate response in verse 14, look at it. He says he fell on his face. He fell in humility. He fell in reverence. He's beginning to recognize who this is. Number 2, he worships him. And number 3, he made himself ready for service immediately. What saith my Lord unto his servant? That must always be our response. And so principle number 3, right here, service always follows genuine worship. If the worship is real, there will be service. When Saul was struck with the presence of the Lord on the road to Damascus, many of you remember that. Remember what his first words were? Trembling. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He was immediately ready for service. The Lord revealed his presence to Joshua. He would not be going to Jericho alone. Yes, Jericho was an impregnable city. He had no armaments of any kind. He had no battering rams, no catapults, no moving towers of any kind. In fact, all they had were spears and slings and arrows, which were nothing against those mighty walls. And now it did seem that this is very, very important. And all of a sudden, if God was with him, it didn't matter if they didn't have anything. You ever notice how the Lord comes to us always just at the right moment? We say, oh, Lord, how am I going to make it? And yet we move forward because we know it's His will, and He's right there, and everything just falls into place. The Lord comes to us, and He's got His sword drawn. He's indicating that He is there to fight for Israel. And right here is principle number 4. There is no one who has ever faced God face to face who comes out the same. If you meet the Lord, you will not come out the same way you first met the Lord. And so for Joshua, though Jericho did seem impossible, the knowledge that God was with him, now he recognized it didn't matter because God was in charge. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you? And that question is very crucial, because there are so many professors today who are not truly possessors of God's wonderful salvation. If you have repented of your sins and received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your own personal Lord and Savior, then He has promised to always be with you and make certain that you have a personal relationship with the one who promises, I will never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. No matter how awesome the future might look, Romans 8:31 through 37 reminds all of us who belong to Him by faith in Christ Jesus, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then he said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And when you are faithful in your service, in your witness, in the way you live for the Lord, you have that promise. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So success is related to our attention to the Word of God. Joshua discovered that he was not alone. Make certain your relationship with a living God. Service always follows genuine worship. No person is ever the same when he comes face to face with God. And principle number 5, you will recognize that you are second in command. And this is probably the toughest one of the whole group. Joshua recognized that he was second in command, not first. The Lord of hosts is the battle title of the Lord. And it speaks of his supreme command in all of the hosts of the armies of heaven. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that he is before all things, the head of the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Be very honest here. Who's in command of your life today? Is your relationship with God about you, or is it about God? Is your relationship and your service here at Bethany Bible Church about you or about God? Are you honestly allowing the Lord to be preeminent in your life? Is he truly Lord of your life, fully in command? Who calls the shots? And these matters are very critical if you truly want God to bless your life. If you truly want God to use you, you've got to allow him to be first in command. And we need to understand that the Prince of Heaven doesn't come as a good luck charm. That's how some people treat God. Or as someone just to do our bidding, personally or corporately as a local church body. And the truth is, if he's not the leader, if he is not the captain, then he's not here at all. And the Lord Jesus is not the servant of the church. He is the head. Based on Revelation chapter 2 and 3, both, do you realize there are many churches today without God's presence? He's here this morning, you know. The Lord of hosts is the King of glory, Psalm 24:10. Have you allowed him to be king of your life? The Lord of hosts is the God of Jacob, Psalm 46:7. Isaiah 8, 13 and 14 reminds us, let the Lord of hosts be our fear and our dread. If we fear him, we do not have to fear anything else or anyone else, no matter how thick the walls. And Joshua found out that being second in command was a matter of obedience. If you truly obey the Lord and you truly serve him, you will recognize that you will be engaged in war. Satan will see to that as well. But you will also discover that the battle is the Lord's. That's the exciting part of it. Joshua was doing what he should have been doing. He was praying. How is this going to be done, Lord? That perhaps led to worship. Jesus came to direct the battle, and Joshua discovered that he was not alone, but he also discovered that he was second in command. And principle number 6, he discovered that he was on holy ground in verse 15. And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua fell down and worshiped him. He was ready to take orders. He was ready to serve. And the Lord told him to take off his sandals because he was on holy ground. By taking off his sandals, it meant putting aside the dirt that was on them from this impure world. Joshua was obeying to acknowledge his own uncleanliness. The presence of a holy God sanctified the very spot where he stood. Stood in that defiled land. Again, he's with us this morning, you know. This command was, in a sense, a trial. And at the same time, it turned out to be proof of Joshua's obedience to the Lord. And so he fell down and worshiped him. He made himself ready to take orders. He removed his sandals, acknowledging who stood before him, which made the place holy. But most important, he did so in recognition that he was merely the servant. I'm merely the servant this morning. You are merely servants. We're in this thing together. And he gloried in the incredible privilege to be on holy ground, worshiping the Lord, who was his source of both strength and wisdom. How often do you enter the presence of God? Have you learned the joy of meeting with Him every morning in His Word and in prayer? It is there that you receive that strength. It is there that you get your marching orders. It is there that God gives you wisdom how to face that day. It is there that you will be reminded of the truth that you are not alone. It is there that the Lord, as you give Him your rightful place in your life, that He will assure you of the fact that He will always be with you. And you will find whatever the marching orders are to be delight. And you will thank Him for the privilege of both serving Him and for being second in command. Joshua turned over all his own plans to the commander. Well, the angels came down to commune with Abraham, you remember. Lot was right nearby. Lot didn't remember anything about him communing with any angels. Lot didn't understand that Abraham was communing with angels. God was seen with three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't see them or him. He just saw the three. God reveals Himself to those who love Him, those who seek Him, those who walk with Him, those who are prepared to do His will. Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? And all of a sudden their eyes were open and they saw the risen Christ. James 4:8 reminds us, draw near to God and He will what, class? Draw near to you. By the way, I taught several classes at Birmingham Bible Institute for 23 years. I'm used to calling you class. So do me a favor, just get used to it. It's one of my little quirks, okay? But if I say it, then I'm looking for you to respond one way or the other. So help me out in those areas. John 14:21 reminds us that as we treasure His word and treasure His presence, He will magnify Himself to us just as He magnified Himself to Joshua on that day. There's yet one more thing that Joshua discovered, and it's this last principle. Joshua discovered that he was already the victor. Look at chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. The terror of the Lord had already fallen on the Canaanites. They had heard of Israel's coming long before they got there. They heard how God took them across the Red Sea, how they escaped the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. There's another principle here you need to understand, not in the notes. Holy people are always a terror to those who do not know the Lord. Amen? Holy people are always a terror to those who do not know the Lord. Those who live only for God have a certain power that the wisdom and the strength of the world cannot explain. They don't understand it. And they've said it. Some of you have had it said to you. How often I've been in a hospital situation where a brother or a sister has been in the hospital for some time, suffering terribly so, when another patient will say, how in the world do you handle this like you do? It's a recognition that you're not alone. Amen? We go through circumstances sometimes that other people say, how in the world can you go through this? It's not always easy, but it sure is a whole lot easier when you know that the Lord is with you. Folks, we're in a war today. And we are commanded in God's word to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. And it is God's will that we totally submit to Jesus Christ and to seek our marching orders in this book, the Word of God. Christ gave to Joshua the exact orders for overcoming the city, and all he had to do was obey by faith. Oh, he got some strange orders. March around the wall. What? No armaments? No towers? No battering rams? But you see, God had already put a terror in their hearts when you recognize that you are not alone and that you're second in command and that you're on holy ground. You have this guarantee that the Lord will go before you no matter what you're going to be facing in the future. And he paves the way. And when you are fully aware of that truth, the future doesn't look so awesome. And the Lord tells Joshua that he's already the victor. God will never tell us to do that which we are not equipped to do. He not only gives us the marching order, he equips us to carry them out. And even though he did not totally understand those orders, he could walk in full confidence knowing that victory was assured through the eyes of faith. He saw what God saw. Jericho was nothing but a big old pile of rubble. You ever gone out on visitation and you knocked on a door? And you said to yourself, I hope no one's home. Huh? Be honest here. I mean, I've done it. Have you ever been given a task and you say, I know I can't handle this task? That's when we need to respond just like Joshua. And when we do, the promise is ours. I'm always with you, right to the end. Success from God's perspective is directly related to our attention to the Word of God. We are to move forward recognizing we're not alone. We must cherish the thought that no person is ever the same when we come face to face with the Lord. We must always recognize we're second in command. It's all about God, not us. That will change our attitude and how we serve Him. Some would only serve if they can have it their way. There are some who only want to serve if they get attention. No, it's got to be God's way. It's got to be for His glory. We must be in the Word and in prayer, and in so doing, recognize that we are on holy ground. We must realize that genuine worship is very, very crucial and that it is always followed by service. And then we must realize that we are already the victor. And when you are ready, as was Joshua, God will have an assignment for you. And as you walk with Him, you will be amazed how He will use you and what He will do through you. If there are areas you are wondering, why is the Lord doing what He's doing just now? Sometimes we pray and we say, why hasn't the Lord intervened? He may be waiting for you to meet with Him on His terms. Very crucial. In chapter 1, God told Joshua to be strong and of good courage. I want you to later on to go to that chapter and read it. Because He didn't say be strong and good courage one time. He said it 3 different times. He said, be strong and of good courage to believe God's word. He said, be strong and of good courage to obey God's word. And then He said, be strong and of good courage to rest in God's word. He's there. It's going to be okay. God then gave Joshua the orders that would seem totally ridiculous to most people. But since it came from God who does all things perfectly, Joshua did not question the orders. And we all know the walls of Jericho came what? Tumbling down. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord this morning. Do you know the Lord is your own personal Lord and Savior? Who's in command of your life? Have you considered at all what God might want you to change as a result of this passage of Scripture? Is there something He might want you to do? Is there any area you have not been obedient in that you need to turn over to Him? In your life, is it really about God or you? I want you to just take a moment of quietness to respond to the Word this morning. Whatever He lays on your heart, surrender yourself to doing His will. Father, you told Joshua that as you were with Moses, you would be with him. I thank you for the clear statements in your word that make it a joyful thing and a delightful thing to know that you are with us. I do pray that you bless Greg and whatever ministry you have for him over there. But I pray that we would look for thy blessing right here at the same time. I pray that we would recognize that we're just second in command, that it's all about you. And I pray that together we'll look forward to what you want to do here at Bethany. And Father, here in Hendersonville, as a result of what you're doing in our hearts here, help us to be a submissive people to accomplish that which you want to accomplish in our hearts. And Father, I pray if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, I pray before they leave this facility today that they would come to know the joy and the experience of knowing you as Lord and Savior of their lives. We praise you this morning. We worship you as the commander of the hosts of all of the armies of heaven, recognizing that nothing is impossible with you. We praise you for what you're going to do in the future as we trust you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.